Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Pastor Vic here from Murray Grace Fellowship. You'll notice that our Sunday sermon this week is a wee bit late. What are we now? About 2.5 hours late. 3.5 hours late? Oh, I'm not sure. And in a different location. That is because I made a wee bit of a boo-boo when I was preaching the sermon this morning and forgot to or didn't press properly the go live button. So we never went live on YouTube via StreamYard. We weren't on Facebook. We weren't on Healing Word Ministries. So this is me now. I'm home. We've packed up church, home. I've had some lunch. And you know what? I'm going to do the sermon just for you guys. Seeing as you didn't get it earlier on this morning. So then, of course, it'll also be recorded and it'll be on YouTube and it'll be on our website and everywhere as well. So apologies that if you're watching now, you didn't get to watch at 11:15, 11:30. But you know what they say? Better late than never. So let's pray, shall we? And I'll get on with the sermon. So Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for these seeds we're about to plant in our hearts. Thank you for the truths that we're about to look at in your breathed word. Thank you for these scriptures. Thank you for these seeds we're about to plant. Speak your understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. Understanding so that these seeds are not stolen. And understanding so that they can grow and produce fruit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome. So, keep up. Yes. Hallelujah. So, yes, the sermon's a bit late because we just pilot error. So I'm really sorry about that. So the sermon today, I was trying to explain to the guys in church this morning, the sermon went a different direction than what I was planning last week. We have been taking time out to study about the love of God. Because I was trying to answer that question, what does God is love mean? And I wasn't getting there. So what I've been trying to do in these last few sermons is take words to describe God's love and see if that can help us. So we've looked at words like creative and relational. Really loved that the first sermon. We looked at words like inclusive yet personal. We looked at that word chesed, the picture of Ruth, about God being lovingly loyal. I really liked that one. And last week we were talking about Zacchaeus and his encounter with Jesus and how the love of God is unconditional, not based upon our performance. And I, for one, say amen to that. Now, that's all great. They're great. They're super descriptors. But there's a question that you may be asking. You may have asked it in the past. Some of us may be asking it now. You know, is this love and all that we've learned about in the sermons that we read about in the Word that was for back then, is that for today? Is this for me? Or is it just for about those that we read in the Word? Is that love everlasting? Is that love the same now as it was then? All questions I think it's quite valid to ask. So let's start by, I want to remind you about a couple of verses I used last week. I used Hebrews 1:3, which said that Jesus is the express image of the Father. And I used John 5:19, which says Jesus can only do what he sees the Father do. So in that way, we want to look to Jesus to see what God the Father's like. If we can't say, you know, God moves in mysterious ways, because we can actually look and see how Jesus moved, and we can transfer that onto God the Father and say that's what how he'll move. So if Jesus does something, God will do it. If Jesus doesn't do something, God won't do it, because he's the express image of the Father. So you need to remember that as we're going through the sermon this afternoon. So turn to the verse that I want to use for today. Short verse, powerful verse, important verse, and the verse that I based the whole of the sermon on, even though it kind of went off on a different direction from where I thought it would go. The verse is Hebrews 13:8, and it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. The character of Jesus, who remembers the express image of the Father, the character of Jesus has been and will always be the same. That's what this is saying. So the nature of Jesus, and therefore the nature of the Father, his character, his attributes, his what he does, will always be the same. His character and nature, you see, is not like that of men. I spoke a little bit about that last week, if you remember, when we're talking about human love, how it was fickle and it comes and goes and it goes up and down. And I said we need to be careful and not see that the way we are and kind of transfer that onto God. We remove our love depending upon performance. And that's not the way God works. We are not the same yesterday and today and forever. And because God's different from us and how we're different from God, there are aspects about God, about Jesus, about the Trinity, that our brains are not quite powerful enough to comprehend. You see, we're limited in time and space in this life. And so are our brains, and therefore our perceptions about some of the things of God. Take Revelation 1:8, for instance. Revelation 1:8, Jesus speaking, because in my Bible it's in red. It says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginnings and the end, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Now, as well as being in red, we know this is Jesus talking, we know this is about Jesus, because if you look at verse 7, it talks about him that was pierced. So that's obviously about Jesus. Another interesting thing, though it's for a different sermon, but if you look up at verse 4, it actually gives these same attributes and describes them to God the Father, which shows us that Jesus is in fact God as well. Son of God, yet God. Part of the Trinity, part of the Godhead. So that's quite interesting, but that's for another sermon. This is saying that Jesus was and is to come. Eternal in time. I get this, both in the past and in the future. Now, I think we all kind of get that about eternity in the future. You know, we say we're going to spend eternity with God the Father. We're going to move into eternity. And that's always, in my understanding, I'm talking about times of the future. But this verse, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. This also talks about eternity and time as in the past. Now, I agree, that's a concept really hard to get our head around. But I don't think it's an impossible concept. Although, you know, it's a concept that our brains are limited to processing. Now, you may be thinking, no, Vic, this is impossible. I can't think about eternity in the past as well as eternity in the future. Well, guys, what we've got to remember is that God is out of our concept of time, out of our concept of reality in this physical realm. And also, if we want to get into the process of starting thinking about impossible concepts, there's a lot of them out there in science as well. And science is starting to talk to us about things that seem to be impossible, like quantum entanglement, quantum spin, quantum mechanics. Some of the things that's coming out for science and physics about time and gravity and space and all that seems to be impossible. But science is starting to describe it. So surely, us as people of faith can take some of these what seems to be impossible concepts and just take them by faith, because the word says so. Especially when he is out of our time, out of our time, space, physical reality, as it were. Jesus always has been, Jesus always is, and Jesus always will be. And so are his characteristics. So is his nature. Those things are also the same yesterday and today and forever. Things like compassion, things like mercy, and yes, things like his love. His love is eternal. His love is continuous. I think we can see that from Revelation 1:8. His love is constant. I think we can see that from Hebrews 13:8. Eternal, continuous, constant. There's three more words that we can use, I believe, to describe the love of God. So it is for now. It is for this time. And it is the same as we see in the Word. See, whether it's you were back in the time of the Word, whether you're in the time now, you're in that time continuum from eternity past to eternity future. And that love is all the way along that timeline. Awesome. And it is for me and it is for you. We've already seen that his love is personal. His love is inclusive. So that includes me and it includes you. Now, I believe these verses confirm the truth that we've been looking at the last few weeks, reinforce this truth. How his love is the same now as it was then. And it's for me and it's for you too. Amen. Amen. You know, we can look in the Word here at that part of time. And we can see Jesus' love and mercy and compassion, for example, with a woman taken in adultery. He extends that grace and mercy and compassion to her before she has to perform. Remember, the order of things are so important. What does he say? He says, neither do I condemn thee. I forgive thee. I accept thee. Now go and sin no more. And he's saying that today. If we are stuck in some kind of bondage, he's saying, neither do I condemn thee. I forgive thee. I accept you. But go and sin no more. And we see in this book, in this part of time, Jesus' unconditional love for Zacchaeus, inviting him down from the tree to enter into intimate relationship with him, irrespective of his performance. Remember, while Zacchaeus was up that tree, about to be invited down by Jesus, he was that tax collector. He was the chief of the tax collectors. He was probably stealing from people. So he was in sin. And yet in that state, Jesus still looks up and sees him, sees right into him and says, come on, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to go to your home. I want to eat with you. Which in that culture, that context, that society was, I want to come into intimate relationship with you. And that was all before Zacchaeus decided to give away half his money and pay back what he'd stolen. Wonderful. Unconditional love, irrespective of performance. That's what it was in the Bible days, and that's what it is now. Because his love is eternal, continuous, constant. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We look at this word, and we see another example of the love of Jesus, where he had to go through Samaria to meet that Samaritan woman at the well. You know, actually, he didn't have to go through. He shouldn't have gone through. As a Jew, he shouldn't have been there. But as the Lord, in his state of love, he had to go through Samaria to meet that human being who was the lowest of the low. He went to where she was. He went to her level. Awesome. And he does the same today. He'll come and meet us where we are. Meet us at our level. Meet us at the state we're in. Because he wants relationship with us. Why? Because he loves us. And because that love is eternal, it's continuous, and it's constant. We use 1 John 4 a lot in our fellowship. And it's what we call the love chapter. It's just brilliant. But I was looking at it yesterday as I was in here. I was actually standing up at my desk at the time. I've got desk gigs up and down. So I was standing here. And I was looking at 1 John 4 and I saw verse 19 and it just took on a new meaning for me, a new depth. And that verse says, we love him because he first loved us. Now, I've always liked this verse, always loved it. Tells me, that his love for me is not dependent on my love for him. His love for me is not dependent on my performance. He loved me just because he loved me. He wanted to love me unconditionally. Now, I've also heard myself saying this, you know, he loved me before I was born, before I became into existence. He loved me, but I saw this on a deeper level yesterday. I saw that he has always loved me. And when I say always, I mean always at time in eternity going into the past. That just blew my mind. I've always been on his mind. I'd stop when that thought came to me. You know, can I really believe that? Can I really understand that? You know, I've still got to meditate on it. But I believe it's the truth. And I believe the same is for you. You know, Jesus is no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he does for another. I believe you have always been loved by him. You know, and that sense, the idea of you, the idea of me, that concept has always been. Because we have always been on his mind. He has always loved us. His love for us did not start. And that makes my mind hurt thinking about it. I've always had this question. And maybe it's a question that you've had. For as long as I can remember, what was before time? Now, as I grew up, I used to frame it in a different way. Because I was an atheist. Till I was a young man. And it was, what came before the Big Bang? What was before the Big Bang? What was before time? What was before the universe came into existence? There must have been something before everything started. And I think I've finally got an answer to that lifelong question, in a sense. And that answer is his love. It was before everything. It was before anything. It was what everything came out of it. Everything that we see all around us, all of creation, the universe, the earth, the us, came out of his, as an expression of his love. Everything that was brought into being was out of love. He is love. God is love. His love is not a part of his nature, his character. Carol was trying to explain this to me after the service this morning. It's like his love is substance. Because God is love. God is love is. It's like that. He is love. God is love. And in that sense, I think I may be even getting to answer my own question. What does God is love mean? His love was, and his love is, and his love forever will be. And it's like, God is love because God is. And love is. And it's like, God was and love was. God will be, love will be. Don't know if I'm explaining this well. I didn't think I was explaining it very well in the sermon this morning. And I'm still working through this thing myself. But so exciting. God is love because God is. You know, I was thinking, why does the universe not fall apart? Thermodynamics tells us it should be. But it's not. Why? Because of his love. I wasn't going to be preaching on this morning, but this just poured out of me yesterday as I was standing here in this study, thinking about these verses, about his love being eternal. His love being continuous and his love being constant. And if those are true, he must have loved me eternally, continually, and constantly. Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome. And then I had this sense, this revelation yesterday, it really, as if that hadn't blown me away, this did. Turned me into a bit of a wreck, to be honest. And it was that God is love because God is. And the focus of his love was and is and forever will be me. That just, wow, fantastic. Now, please don't think what I'm saying or what I'm going to say is arrogance. But I got this revelation for me. But I've told you many times, actually, Carl, again, mentioned it in the service this morning, that we need to personalise Scripture. We need to personalise these revelations that we have about God and about the Word. And I'm kind of desperately trying to share with you in a way that you can understand and maybe get this for yourself, because it's true for you too. But I'm gonna personalise again what he's done. He's always loved me. He's always wanted the best for me. I've always been on his mind. And then I thought about this universe, how the Earth is perfectly placed in terms of its location between the sun, or a distance away from the sun, its proximity to the moon. And it's at the perfect angle, tilted angle, which makes it perfect for carbon-based life forms. And I just thought, God placed the Earth where it is, in the solar system, in the galaxy, in the universe, for me, because of his love for me. Now, the same is true for you, but as I said, we need to personalise this. And this was the revelation I got yesterday, that this creation is out of his love for me. That's why it's here. Told you he created us to be in relationship with him. If he wants us to be in relationship with him, we need somewhere to live. So he created this place out of his love for me. And if I need to live in here, I need to be able to breathe, and I need to be able to breathe oxygen, so there needs to be oxygen here. So then my thoughts went on to photosynthesis, which is one of my favourite processes in all of biochemistry. It is a marvellous, marvellous chemical process that as a byproduct produces oxygen. And it's like, God designed that so I could breathe out of his eternal, continuous and constant love for me. And then I told the guys in the sermon this morning, I've told them a few times about the wonder of creation and intelligence design, and how I see the eye and the optic nerve and the visual cortex and all the things associated with sight, that engineering and amazing data processing, that was all designed so that I could see this amazing creation that I'm in. And you might be thinking, oh, just that is so arrogant, Vic. No, hear my heart. This was all created out of love for men. We are the pinnacle of his creation. But we're also individuals. So he loved me. He has always loved me. He always will love me. He's providing for me out of his love. But you can share in that too, because you can make it personal. Because this is also about you. He placed you here, created you to have a relationship with you, created the earth for you, designed photosynthesis and oxygen production for you. See, I was on his mind. This is what I got yesterday. I was on his mind before creation. So in a sense, it was created for me, out of his love for me. Remember, you can also claim that for yourselves as well. We were all seen before creation. So this is all here to allow us to live here and now, so that we can have relationship with him. Yes, I hope I'm explaining this well, because this is not the way I meant to go in the sermon today. It kind of turned more into testimony and more about my thoughts that I was having yesterday. But what I'm seeing is his love for me in a new light, a new depth, a new understanding. That love that is eternal, continuous and constant. A love that has never changed and will never change. A love that is both eternal from both ends of time. And I think that'll change me. I hope and pray that it does change me, that extra understanding. And I think if you get a deeper revelation as well, it'll change you. We love him because he first loved us. I think it's important that we get a deeper revelation of his love for us. For that is what enables us to love him back. And that is what he deserves. It enables us to be more thankful, to be more grateful. Enabling us to live a life of love. Nunzi said something, I can't remember if it was on communion this week or if it was in the sermon service last week, but she spoke about knowledge being the key, understanding being the key, and an understanding of his love is important. But let me tell you what's even more important than that. It's an understanding of his love for you. That's the key. And I think that's missing from many believers. You know, does God truly love me? Does he really love me? Knowing what I'm like, knowing what I've done, knowing what I'm doing. Does he love me right now? Does he love me all the time? Does his love go up or down? I hope the recent sermons have let you see that his love for you is not based on your performance. Not based upon what you've done, not based upon what you're doing or what you're going to do, what you've not done. Based upon the fact that God is love. And his love is eternal, his love is continuous, and his love is constant. And you benefit because he is love. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope that blessed you. Once again, I'm really sorry you didn't get it at the same time as the saints that were in church this morning. It was another fantastic service this morning. The worship was great. We had some real good testimony, a bit of prophecy, and folks sharing. So it was marvellous. So I recommend if you can get along, come along to Murray Grace Fellowship in Langbride on a Sunday morning at 10:30. But if you can't, I will try and make sure I do it properly next time so that you can join us for the sermon at the same time as the rest of the saints in the church. But I hope this extra little sermon blessed you this Sunday, and I will see you next week. Remember, we also do various online services during the week. We have communion on a Monday evening, 8 o'clock. We have communion and a Bible study when we actually discuss the sermon on a Thursday at 8 o'clock. And Sean leads us in a little prayer meeting on Friday at 8 o'clock. And then for those of you that are not night owls or up in the evening, we have a Saturday morning communion service at 9 o'clock here on live on the internet as well. So if you want any more information about that, just get in touch with me and I'll send you the details. But thank you for joining. Thank you for watching. Sorry once again you didn't get it live with the rest of the saints, but you've had the same sermon now. So God bless, and I will see you all soon. Goodbye now.